This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, sleeping apparently right now. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 20th, episode 1410, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
She traded her nail polish for hoof polish. She smells of fly spray, coat sheen, and shavings. She spends more on your horse's shoes than on her own. She's up at 4, so you can sleep until 5. She found your lost number, your lost crop, your lost glove. She's been banished to the stands where she held her breath. She's as proud of green as she is of blue. And when things didn't go your way, she picked you up and dried your tears. She's not just along for the ride. She's behind you every step. Show mom love. Because of her, you can ride to win.
That's right. My mama's coming in town today, Glenn. That was very sweet of you to play that. My mom's going to be here.
That's a burial, lad. I got to give him credit. So,
well, I just want to call BS on that whole thing. My mama sat in the car with a glass of wine, drinking, reading a book. I think she was there. Like, I think she was like totally all about it when I was like 8 or 9. And then like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I think she's over it. Like, she's like, I'm done. I remember when I was 16, she was like, here's the keys. Enjoy your horse shows. You're driving yourself. Now, bye.
Like, I wonder how much different it is, though, if you have a kid into soccer or into dance and they have to be there 4 nights a week, you know. They all got friends, their issues, don't they?
I have friends that cuss the, you know, travel soccer teams and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, hearing that just makes me want to be a good mama. Although,
it's motivation.
Like horses. He better like horses because I'm not sitting at a basketball gym.
Oh, you know what? He's going to be into dance. He's going to he'll be at dance recitals till 2
oh
in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? They're only going to do what you expose them to. I'm all about, so he's going to show chickens and own horses.
Jennifer's mom was that mom, by the way. That was
really?
Jennifer's mom. Yeah. Into the Pony Club, DC, and the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, like as quirky and difficult and as not present as your parent could be, or like in this situation, my mom, I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, like she went with me. She got in the car with me and drove for 2 days to go get Thor. She's up for an adventure. She just was not like I was watching them, like the braiding and the brushing. I'm like, my mother never braided my horse. Like she never braided my hair. When is she going to braid a horse? Never going to happen. Stuff like she didn't smell like hay. She smelled like wine.
See, you were supposed to be the dancer so she could go to dance recitals and sit there and drink wine and read her book and be like all the other moms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
At least a cheerleader or something, you know.
I failed. Hey, Jennifer, is Jennifer gone or are we gone?
Oh, I'm here.
You're here. I'm here. She must be gone.
Yep, I think we lost Jennifer. So we'll have to see if we can get her back.
Perfect. Well, yeah. So I was listening to that and watching that. And my mom is coming today. And I love the fact that she's actually not coming to visit me, Glenn. She's actually coming because her husband has a conference. So I'm like, just come a couple days early, hang out with me. So she's coming and she just wants to see Lucas and Thor. Like that's it.
Thor. Yeah, nobody wants to. Once you have a kid, nobody wants to see you anymore. You're just.
Oh gosh, no. You know, my dad and his wife are coming to Rolex, and they're like, "Okay, great. When are you going to leave him with us? Like, now, when can we see you? Are you coming? When can we have the kid?"
And you said, "Well, from about Wednesday through Sunday evening, it'd be perfect."
I actually said through Tuesday. Go ahead. If you could fly him back to Phoenix and not have me do that, that'd be great. That'd be super fun.
All right. I think Jennifer is having to reboot, so I'll do what's on today's show. How about that? Yeah, it won't be as eloquent, and we'll definitely not have big words. So none of that will be happening. We have Barb Crabo, your old instructor for eventing, coming on today. She's making a trip with her horse over to Rolex, so she's coming on to chat about that. We're going to be getting it'll be kind of eventing week for us over the next week. We look forward to this every year. And then we have coming up a little late. Well, we have some crappy lists. And then we have Haggard Horse Health Report. And it's we have a veterinarian cat on. That's K-E-T, cat. And she's going to be talking about...
I'm like,
about,
we have a veteran... Why are we talking
to... Yeah, so we have a cat on, and the cat is talking about foaling, what's normal and when to call the vet. So perfect. It's a very smart cat we have coming on the show today.
Perfect. Well, that's great because that's going to be something that... I mean, I'm already freaking out about pink. You know,
Don't you have like a few months yet?
I have like a year. And I still am like, okay. You guys know that I bred my... a mare named Pink, and I'm waiting on her foal, and she's, you know, 60 days pregnant right now. Not that I'm counting, but I've already been like, okay, I got to get cameras installed in the barn. Okay. And then I've got to put some walls up on the mare motel to make sure that the baby doesn't roll over. We got to get to work. Chad's like, it's January. It's coming in January. I can wait till it cools down next winter and get it all done. I was like, I need it now. Such a freak show about
you
it.
You are just a pain in the ass to live with, I bet.
Oh, my God. Bless his heart. I don't know how he stays married. How he does just amazing. That.
I only have to put up with him like, 4.5 hours a week.
Yeah, you're lucky. You're the lucky one.
Hey, can I say a word or two about the disaster that's in Central Texas right now? The flooding there is just unbelievable.
Oh, man.
And it just doesn't stop raining. I looked at the radar this morning, and it's just one big swatch of rain right over Central Texas. It's not moving. They've had over 20, some places, 25 inches of rain in a couple. You know, Texas is a godforsaken state. Either it's hot as hell and hasn't rained in 10 years, or it just doesn't stop. It's one or the other. And then there's flooding everywhere. But this one's really bad. There's people that have died, and lots of livestock, including horses, have died. They rescued over 100 horses yesterday out of the water. It's just, and that's a very horsey area there. But it's a, obviously a flood-prone area. Patty, who hosts our Healthy Critters radio show, is out of Texas, and she did a show last night with Jennifer, and she said she cannot get to her barn. She has to drive like a mile or two and can't get there because everything's flooded. So, you know, it's just bad. She said it's really, really bad.
That's just heartbreaking.
So our best to all of them in Texas. And I think that we might actually have Jennifer back with us. Let's just let her know she's off the hook. Jennifer, are you back?
I'm back. Yay! Okay. Just took a little trip around the block. No problem.
We did the On Today show. But I didn't have any big words. If you could give us one big word, everybody will be happy.
Okay, let's see here. Happy National Pineapple Upside Down Cake, everybody.
Oh. Wow, that's a holiday.
It is. Actually, Jennifer loves that. And the Mexican grocery store up here makes fresh pineapple upside down cake every day. I didn't know that was a Mexican thing, but they apparently...
I don't know if it is either. Maybe they just like to make it. But here is why it should be National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day. Because it is the class clown of the dessert world. And it deserves respect because it has something for everybody. It has built-in fruit for the health conscious. It has a fluffy yellow cake middle for the traditionalist. And it has the crunchy and delicious brown sugar top or bottom, depending upon how you look at it, for those who live on the edge. So everybody enjoy some cake today.
There you go. Thank you,
Jennifer. I'm hungry. Thanks. Daily Winnie, Glenn. Daily Winnie,
because Jennifer has to get to calling the first guest here now that she's back. All right, Daily Winnie. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to Omega Horse Rescue. Omega Horse Rescue's in Pennsylvania, and you'll know probably the name of the horse that they rescued. The name was Lily, and that was the horse, remember, that had been shot with a paintball gun like 125 times and then
yes.
sent to New Holland to the auction. And that was the rescue that ended up with Lily, and along with the help of New Bolton Center, the veterinarians there. Well, they found a pasture mate for Lily now. The pasture mate is whose name is Anita, was abandoned, also found at New Holland, and had a tumor in its eye. Well, the good people at New Bolton took care of taking the eye out and put her on pain medication and everything. And they put her out in a field that is for visually impaired horses. It has no trees and nothing for them to run into, which I thought was kind of cool. And so that they thought, well, let's put Lily and let's put Anita out together. They've both been traumatized, both went through New Holland, and apparently they're getting along quite well, and they're very Aww. Happily munching grass together in the pasture.
Aww.
So good for Omega Horse Rescue, and good for our friends at New Bolton Center there in Pennsylvania. It's a really classy place. And it's your turn.
You guys know that I do a lot of the social media for the Sheriff's Department, who here in Arizona, they rescue a lot of horses. They actually don't even really rescue them. They seize them from their owners after they've been starved or mistreated or abused or whatever. That's Sheriff Joe for you. He's an animal guy. So I've adopted now two horses, fostered one or two, and had adopted a dog and fostered the dog for a year. And so now I feel like it's my time to foster and adopt something else from MASH, the Sheriff's Department.
No.
Today, getting delivered at my house are nine chickens, Glenn. nine
chickens. I was picturing a big bird, like an ostrich or an emu.
Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be really awesome. No, how do you starve or neglect chickens? Like, they're the easiest animals to have in the world. So sadly, somebody did that. And so I will be fostering most of these hens. I'll keep some of them, but I'll be fostering them. So if you would like to adopt.
Have you ever succeeded at fostering, chicken. Which means you actually gave the animal back?
I found home for Joy, the dog I fostered from MASH. And then I found a home for the mare, Penny, that I fostered from MASH. So you watch your mouth. I'm a good foster mama. I adopt most of them. But every once in a while, I do rehome one.
And if you're getting one from, if Jamie is rehoming an animal, don't take it. Because that means it's the one that she didn't want.
That is not true. That is not true.
I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. That's like the worst thing to say.
I'm just kidding. Well, you keep all the good ones.
I keep all of them. And you know what? There's somebody on the phone right now. And she would tend to disagree with you, Glenn. Is Barb ready?
Barb is ready.
Because she would say that I don't keep all the good, I don't get rid of all the bad ones and keep all the good ones. Because she was my trainer with Jet for many, many years. And she knows I did not get rid of the bad one and keep the good one. Good morning, Barb. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Sorry for getting you up so early. She's on Phoenix time too, so it's 6:15 a.m. Or do you get up this early?
I actually get up this early. I just don't normally talk this early.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. So
that's okay. My husband would attest to that. He's like, you don't talk in the morning, do you? And he's quite chatty. And both my daughter and I look at him like, just stop talking. So I'm having to make myself talk this morning.
Now, Barb's husband is a veterinarian. So is he trained to get up early in the morning or at all hours and be ready to go because he's done emergencies, or is he just that way? Annoying like that.
No, he actually would love to sleep all day long, but once he gets up, he's just chatty.
That's me. Jennifer gets mad at me every morning, Barb. We're the same then.
Yeah, you know, I saw this little thing. There are two kinds of people in the world. One kind of person loves to talk in the morning, and the other kind of person wants to kill the person that likes to talk in the morning.
And it seems like husband and wives always end up with the opposites, don't they?
Right, they do.
It happens. I'd have to say that I'm a little bit of the more chatty one as well, but I think that's just common all the time.
I don't think that's a surprise.
Yeah. Thanks. Barb, you're like heading to Rolex in 2 days.
Yes, I am.
Are you freaking out? Are you like, because you guys don't know that Barb is like a bit of an ice in her veins kind of woman. Nothing scares her. Nothing makes her nervous. Does something like this make you nervous?
The fact that I'm leaving in 2 days? No, it stresses me out a little bit because I feel like I have so much to do still. But no, it doesn't freak me out at all. I'm half excited and half like, oh God, here, we're going to try it again.
So
we haven't had a whole lot of success.
This is your third Rolex.
Fourth
Rolex. All with EverReady.
Yep.
And give us a little bit of a history of how it's gone since you brought it up.
We have not completed. That's about how it's gone. So we have not show jumped once. And that's really what I'd like to do this time. Getting a little frustrating. But I know we have it in us. I know we can do it. It's just been, you know, various situations that's obviously kept us from doing it. Since like 2010, the only problem I've ever had on cross country has been at a 4-star with this horse, which is getting a little frustrating. And we have actually finished the cross country once, and then he wasn't quite good enough to trot up on Sunday. So, I know we have it in us, and so that's why we're giving it another go. And he feels better than ever, and we feel so incredibly confident right now, so... We'll just keep banging our head against the wall until it happens, right?
Well, you've had such an amazing spring leading up to leaving for Rolex. For those who don't know, Barb just won the 3-star at Galway with this horse EverReady. And, I mean, that's got to be a big confidence booster.
It was, because he smoked around the course. I mean, it was so ridiculously easy for him. And he was just super good in all three phases, which was nice. Because we went to Twin Rivers a month before that, which was his first show out of the season. And I know he's always going to be a little crazy the first show out, but he was off his rocker. He was like unrideable. He had a bronc bucking fit with me toward the end of our dressage test. That was impressive.
Judges love
him. And, actually the judge at sea started laughing hysterically. The judge at B was not so impressed, but the judge at C was just laughing. Like she was just like looking at me. You could tell she was just cracking up. And like, what am I going to do? The horse is 17 years old. If I'm trained now, I'm never going to do it. Right.
Did that just bring back memories of like when you were a teenager riding in shows and the horse starts bucking or runs out of the ring or jumps?
No, I don't have to go that far back. That brings me back to memories when Reddy was like 10.
He has had quite an unrideable streak in him, hasn't he?
What is it about the event horses that get to 4-star level? They all kind of have that personality, don't they?
They're all a little nuts, I think. Yes, yeah. There's a little special something in all of them that can make them quite difficult. But if you can get through that and get them to focus that energy in the right place, then you can have a pretty amazing horse. And then he was just completely crazy in the show jumping. He's like, he occasionally takes a rail. Usually he jumps clean, and we took 3 rails because he was just running off with me and then spooking at things. And it's like, I don't even know where your feet are, dude. I'm just going to try to hang on for dear life.
Maybe you should make your first show closer instead of going all the way to Joy in the Rivers.
There is nothing really. I mean, unless I wanted to run around preliminary or something, and I don't want to use up his legs on that, you know, because I feel like we at least need to practice the tough questions. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's okay. Cause then, you know, then we went out on cross country and I made him run at like preliminary speed. Mm-hmm. And I think I made my point because when I went to Galway, he was the most rideable thing. And he was so wonderful in all three phases. He was just, he showed up for work that day and was ready to do it. And so that was super fun.
Do you know what you're going to have kind of going into it because you know the horse so well? Do you know what kind, what horse you're going to have, or you get on him and you're like, whoa, I've got this one today?
No. Well, I mean, I guess I know before I go in the arena, because if he's going to try to buck me off in the arena, he's going to try to buck me off in the warm-up too. And so I know to keep my shoulders back. but yeah, no, I mean, I kind of know when, you know, that morning. He can change from day to day dramatically because he's usually pretty high strung the first day. And then he can settle down a lot over the couple days before, you know, that we're there, or he can not. And so, but usually when I get on, I'm like, all right, well, here goes this.
Do you buy CO2 cartridges by the case?
I try to stay on, thank you.
Okay.
It doesn't always work, but I try.
Let me give you a little picture of Barb. Is when I got one of the first cross-country schoolings with Jet. Jet was a bit of a bucker, too. And we come... she laughs because that was generous. So I get catapulted. It's on video, by the way. Catapulted. We land off this jump and he just jumped me out of the tack and then just bucks me off and I go flying in the air. I flip over, I land on my back. Barb kind of like walks over. Not, she doesn't run over. Are you okay? She walks over and she's like, you all right? And I'm laying on my back and I look up at her and I go, oh my gosh, I haven't come off in so long. This really hurts. And she goes, that just means you haven't been riding hard enough. And like, if I could paint a picture of Barb Cravo, that would be it. Like, you're just not doing enough if you haven't been bucked off or fallen off recently. Do you remember that?
I do. And that's actually like when I go through phases, it seems. And I won't fall off for a long time. And then I feel like I can't stay on my horse. Whether it's, you know, usually the horses at home, like I'll come off like 4 or 5 times in like 3 weeks from horses that I'm riding at home, and I'll fall off at a show and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I was reading this article and that was a quote from some Australian writer. No, it actually wasn't George Morris.
Sounds
he
like
would just tell you,
George,
if you're falling off that much, you must really suck.
Suck, yeah, get out of the ring.
Yeah. Pick up knitting. But no, I don't remember who it was, but he said, if you're not falling off, you're not riding hard enough. And it made me feel so much better about myself. It's actually like my favorite
everybody.
Thing. So when I start falling off a lot, I go, I must be riding hard.
So, you know what I thought was neat?
I'm doing some...
Barb,
what was that?
Early in the interview, you were talking about, you know, nerves and all that stuff. And, we recorded the eventing show last night, and Tim Price and Joe Meyer were on. Joe hosted, uh-huh. And then Tim Price was on. He had one horse that he had to bail out with, but he's still coming over with one. And just the excitement in Tim Price's voice about coming over, he just loves Rolex. And, you know,
that's awesome.
And gets to come over. But also when they got talking, you know, I'm always amazed when I hear the professional riders that do get nervous and hepped up and excited. And, you know, Joe talked about how in cross country day, he goes out by himself and nobody's allowed to talk to him. And he walks the course by himself. And, you know, just, I think it surprises non-professionals that you guys kind of get nervous and excited and all that to you, the same feelings do, you know, I think.
Absolutely. Let me interject here a little bit though, with Tim Price and his excitement and my lack of excitement. So I was saying, this is my fourth try.
Yeah.
Tim Price walked home with like, I don't know, like $150,000 last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That would make me a little more excited.
So
just to put it into perspective.
Got
right
it.
There.
Got it. Tim's horse he came in second with last year isn't there this year though. So that's something.
I know. It's funny because I was actually looking at the order going, and Wesco was that horse was number 74 and Everready is number 75. So I said, wow, I'm going
to follow Wesco,
my 15 two hand pony. And show them what dressage looks like after Wesco. I'm like, well, that's promising of a very good score. And yes, I'm being sarcastic here.
I like to think of it as when he opened up for you.
Yeah, that's right. He was the opening act.
There you go. Yeah, so their last memory will be Wesco. And then I come popping in on this little pony that I remember a couple of years ago when I was there. You know how they have the headphones that people can wear, and I think Sally O'Connor was commenting. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends was listening. She says it was really frustrating because all Sally kept saying, well, he's such a little horse. Well, that was okay, but he's just such a little horse. And I know he does, he looks very, you know, you look at a horse like Wesco or one of these big, impressive horses, and they fill up the arena and they have so much presence. And then we come in and we're like this spot in the arena, kind of moving around. So when I saw that Wesco wasn't going to be there as number 74 anymore, I actually wasn't too sad.
You didn't feel sorry for him one bit, did you?
I was thinking, you know, we have a chance to have at least a respectable dressage score now, because he'll be obedient. He just isn't going to be super fancy. And, it was kind of funny.
Glenn, you have the list. Who's number 73?
Oh, let me look. I have it right here in front of me.
Allie Knowles.
Is it Allie?
Allie Knowles, because it's Allie Knowles and Sound Prospect, because I was saying, okay, now who am I behind? My guess is still going to whip my butt, but at least I won't be quite as embarrassed.
No, so you'll be, if you're in the 70s, you're going to be Friday afternoon then?
Yeah, which is actually a great time for us. The longer he can be there, and in the afternoon is best.
I just looked at the weather. It looks like the early forecast scores can change in Lexington about every 2 minutes. But right now, the long-range forecast is 50s at night, 80s during the day, with a 50% chance of rain, which is
every
normal.
10 minutes,
which is normal. But so the weather should be cooperating and not like 30 degrees like some years.
And not like last year, where I think like 2 weeks before the show, I remember seeing on Eventing Nation, you know, pictures of the head of the lake that was actually Lake Michigan.
Yes.
And, you know, and they were showing like out in the fields, you could see like some of the oxers, you could just see the top rail because it was so underwater. And so it was just so saturated. And then it just got this insane deluge that started on Friday and didn't let up. And so, you know, that was definitely our downfall last year. Neither Reddy or I had a clue what to do with the footing.
And that place is pretty good footing-wise. Any place else would have just been a disaster. I mean, at least, you know, the ground's pretty good now. But, yeah.
It is pretty good. But part of the problem, once again, because the ground was so saturated, it was sticky. It was a little bit sticky. It didn't sink too bad. It was a little bit sticky, but there was a layer of a couple of inches of water just sitting on top. Ugh. And so it kind of suctioned you. Like, I could hear his feet, like, suctioning. And so I think he would, like, Reddy, for instance, would go to take off, and his legs wouldn't react. He wouldn't leave the ground the way he was supposed to. So he just, like, in the warm-up, he just kept jumping higher and higher and higher. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't work. You know, I just ended up jumping straight up over these fences. And, you know, the second fence was this enormous table, and he made such a huge effort over that. And, you know, and then I kind of galloped him. I'm like, dude, you've got to get going forward. This is not going to work. And then to the fourth fence, I think I probably said whoa once, which I should not have done, but he just jumped straight up in the air and went nowhere. And we just landed on top of it and laid on it for about 15 seconds. It was quite disconcerting, but we just didn't know what to do with the footing. So we're really hoping that, I mean, it can rain. We're not like allergic to rain or anything. We're just hoping it doesn't turn into the soupy quagmire that it was last year.
I love that. I'm not allergic to rain. I just don't want, like, to run in a lake. I get it.
Exactly. You know, water jumps. Let's keep the water jumps in the water jumps.
That's sounds good. We train for that. We train for that.
We can do the water jumps.
It's kind of hard for you to train for days of rain, isn't it? I mean, where you live?
Yeah, in the desert, yeah. It's a little rough.
It's kind of difficult.
there's not much we can do out here for that to prepare. But listen, Barb, I can't. Yeah. I will be there. I will be wearing my Ever Ready hat. I will be ready.
Are you really? That's awesome.
Of course I will be. I'm super excited for you. We're going to be broadcasting live, so make sure you pop by. We're going to be live on Thursday, Glenn, or Friday?
Friday and then Sunday morning, yep.
Friday and Sunday morning. Friday morning.
We have to have you on Sunday morning because you will not have been eliminated, and for the first time heading into show jumping that afternoon.
We will show jump. Dang
That's
it.
Right.
Okay. I'm trying to keep it clean for your talk show.
It's your year, Barb. It's your year. I can feel it. It's time.
I hope so, because the horse is 17 years old. For God's sake, I'm running out of time.
And that $100,000 check wouldn't be so bad either.
No, but you know, at this point, I could just be really happy with that little completion medal that they hand you and you stick in your pocket afterwards.
There you go.
Heck yeah.
That'll work too.
Heck yeah.
That I would be really happy with that. Yeah, seriously.
Well, Barb, we wish you the best of luck. We will see you very soon. Have a very safe trip and enjoy packing only for one horse as opposed to when you go to horse trials and you have 17 horses you're taking. So,
yeah, it's weird, actually.
Yeah, sure.
Barb, real quick, what's your website?
It is fourpeaksfarm.com.
Okay, very good.
And it's spelled F-O-U-R.
See you next week.
Thank you so much. We'll see you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, see you, girl. She's also on Facebook, too. I'm sure it's not her because she, I think, hates Facebook. But you may be able to find her every once in a while on Four Peaks Farm. Just search for it on Facebook.
Doesn't it surprise you when you hear the professionals? You know, I just was listening to a whole conversation last night with these guys all talking to me. Max Cochran was in on it, and they were all talking. Of course, Max, you know, as a groom to some of the top people in the world, has been there for 100 times, you know. And it just was interesting hearing them and how excited they get and how nervous they get. And you just don't, because they're in shows all the time, you know. But this is Rolex. It's different.
Yeah, it's just not, it's not even the same league. And, you know, I've thought of things like, you know, when Chad's watching golf and the guys are, you know, they've made it to the Masters.
Yeah, the guy who just choked at the Masters there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or bless his heart, that was in his first Masters. But, you know, and then you see like these people who finally make it into some sport that you're like, this is really stupid. You know, like I thought, you know, one football game, they work their whole lives to play in one football game, the Super Bowl. That's really stupid. And then I'm like, oh, it's like their Rolex.
Rolex, yes.
I get it. That's how I have to, oh, like you work your whole life just to finish, like Barb's saying, finish a Rolex on her homebred horse that she's had for 17 years. Like just tugs at your heartstrings. And then like, it's the same thing with other sports, and the pinnacle of all those sports really, it makes me understand other things better. Does that make sense?
The only reason she would come on this show this morning, because you could tell, I mean, you know, after having tried this, what, 4 times, and this is, she got what, coming up number 5, she wouldn't have come on any other show and talked. So I'm glad she did, because it just, you know, that's part of it too, right? I mean, it's all part of showing horses. Not every year is a good year.
She's the most realistic person that, like, if you want somebody to lie to you and tell you you're pretty, she's not that girl.
No, she kind of reminds me of George Morris a little bit.
Yeah, she's like the female George. No offense, Barb.
No, that's a good look at George. I mean, he's a god.
Exactly. I've never had somebody be so blunt. Like, there was one horse trial where Jet finally didn't buck in the warm-up, and he just, I was like, I don't even know who this horse is. He's not bucking, you know, and so I'm trying not to say anything, and I'm keeping that very quiet. And it's like, you know, they're like, 149, your turn. I'm like, okay, here we go. Barb's like, jump one more jump. And so I go around, I jump one more jump, Jet lands and just bucks and farts like for like 5 minutes. And she's like, okay, head out to cross country. It wouldn't be Jet if he didn't do that.
He's ready now.
He's ready now. He's got all the gas out. That's Jet right. Propulsion we've got. Yeah. So it's just, yeah. If you want to get somebody to train you who's not going to lie to you and not be really fluffy, then I'd highly recommend her. She's great like that for sure. And if I had a horse that I needed lessons with, I would certainly go back to her.
Let's take a break for our sponsor for this half hour. And also, we'll be back with maybe we'll do a crappy list and some news here coming up after we hear from Back on Track.
Hello, I'm Emily Reynolds, a professional mounted shooter from Western New York, and I'm here today to talk to you about Back on Track Hawk Boots. This is my 21-year-old gelding that keeps up with the ladies' fours and cowboy mounted shooting, and it's thanks to Back on Track Hawk Boots keeping him sound and happy. The Back on Track Therapeutic Hawk Boots have a durable neoprene outer shell and ceramic infused material on the inside called Weltex. This material in the hock boot reflects the horse's body warmth to help stimulate blood circulation. The increased blood circulation may help to alleviate swelling and soreness, making the hock joint move more freely. By increasing circulation and decreasing inflammation, your horse's hock joints will be able to move more freely and without pain. The boot fastens around the hock, but leaves the hock point uncovered. The attached Velcro straps allow you to adjust the boot's fit. We use them before and after exercise. Back on Track, therapeutic comfort at its best. Ask for it by name.
And you can follow them also on Facebook. Just search for Back on Track Products, or Back on Track USA, I think is what it is on Facebook. And we'll see them. They're always there. They always have a big presence at Rolex next week, so we'll see them there as well. Well, I got to ask you, Jennifer and I stumbled across last week this show, and we don't watch much network TV, but I don't know why we came across it, called Little Big Shots with Steve Harvey. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that yet?
I saw a few minutes of it, of one of them.
We've gotten addicted now, and now we binged on it. I just think it reminded me, Bill Cosby did one, and then before that, there was a guy named Art Linkletter.
Your television show choices are so bizarre. You binge watch Little Big Shots,
it
like
was
a little
funny.
Movie about little kids.
It was
kids,
funny
a show about
and
little
entertaining,
kids.
And I liked it because it was light and fluffy, and nobody was getting murdered.
that's true.
It just seems like everything that's on TV now, somebody's getting murdered, right?
Oh my God. Go ahead, and then I'll tell you what I watched last night and how I'm disturbed
well,
forever.
Well, that's the thing. You know, some nights we just don't want to be disturbed, you know?
Yeah.
You get a lot of that, and it's like, well, aren't there anything funny on TV anymore? That's why we started watching The Ranch on Netflix and kind of got addicted to that. And now Little Big Shots, it's just little kids. Steve Harvey's funny anyway. He's a perfect one to do the show. And they get little talented kids out to do stuff, you know, singing and dancing or whatever it is. And they're really good. And Steve does a great job with them. And it's just a light and fluffy show. So we talked about this before, and you watched one segment that I don't think was particularly good. Give it another shot. I think you'll like it.
Okay, because I was kind of feeling sorry for those kids. Like, you will sing better or I will beat you.
No,
like,
that's kind of hot. Like, no, there were some very cute kids on there. And we're not even kids people.
So. I know, that seems so bizarre that you, but you're right. Like, sometimes you just, like, I watch The Grindr. The Grindr is that TV show with, I don't know, I'll think of it here in a second. And it's so good. And I had to watch an episode last night after my husband forced me to watch a Game of Thrones.
Oh, see, I tried Game of Thrones and I couldn't get through the first
episode. I tried
episodes.
It and I couldn't get through it. And we went back to it. And now we're on season three, the second to last
don't
episode.
Don't you feel like you don't want to sleep after watching it, though?
Oh, my God. That's why I have to watch The Grindr. I'm like, after last night's episode, he's like, ready for bed? It's like 10:15. I'm like, I'm never sleeping again. And so we had to put something on. I was like, give me something fluffy. I'll start recording the kids show so I can watch that after the Game of Thrones. So I can and I still had nightmares about it. And I close my eyes all the time. He'll get so mad at me. He's like, why exactly are you on your phone? Do you want me to pause it? And I'm like, no, I'm on my phone so I don't have to watch it. Like, it's too scary. It's too gross.
Yeah, Jennifer doesn't do the really gross movies anymore. You know, we watch the typical series that everybody watch. But boy, you just, that's why ours is Big Bang, you know, like yours is that one. Ours is Big Bang, you know, after you watch the thousandth murder of the week, got to just chill out.
No, you got to watch The Ranch before bed.
Yeah, Ranch is pretty good too.
All right, I'll start watching that one. The Grindr is the one with Rob Lowe and Fred Savage.
Haven't seen that one.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. He played a lawyer on TV, Rob Lowe did, and his brother, Fred Savage, is an actual lawyer, and, like, Rob Lowe's character kind of gets fired from the show and comes and starts working at, and it's, like, overdramatic. He was an overdramatic lawyer actor who never lost a case, you know, and so he's, like, in Fred Savage's law firm trying to work, and so if you guys haven't seen that, it's really, really funny to start from the beginning.
Boy, the name does not indicate what it would the show would be about, does it?
No, because his
because you would expect murder with a name like that.
Yeah, no, it's like totally fluffy. Just 22 minutes of I laugh out loud all the time, and it's called The Grinder because that was what he did. He grinded, you know, like, and he has a catchphrase and everything. So anyway, that's my little post Game of Thrones TV that I have to watch anyway. So.
Well, I have a news story here for you. Every year over in England, and you'll remember this, I think we've talked about it every year, they race people against horses in a 16-mile race, and every year the results are a little different, but apparently this year they cheated in favor of the people. They changed the course. As I said, it's a loop on Drummond Farm, and 16 miles. Apparently, it's very beautiful and everything. And they race horses against people. And
is this Ireland?
Yeah, I think it's Ireland. It's in the UK someplace. It doesn't really say, to be honest. So it is. It's near Loch Ness, actually.
Okay.
It's right near Loch Ness. So this year, guess who won?
Well, I think what you're trying to tell me is that. The human.
A guy won this year. It was not the horses. The horses came in third. And apparently they changed the course so that it was better for humans and it wasn't so good for horses. So I don't know what that means or why that was that way, but the horse people were complaining, and next year they might have to change it again to make it more fair to give the horses a chance.
So. I guess I don't know much enough about this, but I would think, what is like 16 miles, like the perfect distance for a human to beat a horse? I don't know.
You would think that the horse could, but a horse can't run flat out for 16 miles. So it took he completed the course in 1 hour, 49 minutes. So almost 2 hours.
I'll tell you how I could beat a guy running 16 miles an hour with my horse.
Jet?
No, run him over. There you go. I'm just going to hit you with my horse and win. That's what I would do.
Cheat is how Jamie would do it.
Exactly. Now, there was a list going around on Facebook, and I feel like it is – we have to talk about it. It's the – I didn't even know this was a Facebook page, and I'm wondering if I qualify. Jennifer, let's find out the qualifications to be a war horse woman. Women of age riding horses. That is war horses. And I don't know what the age has to be. And I wonder if 38 qualifies. So there's a list of rules, riding rules for old horsewomen. And you can find the war horses.
I don't think he qualifies an old horsewoman yet.
I don't know. I feel like it. My God. I had to get on Edward, the horse that I trained for years. I had to get on him last night in the lesson. I was like, oh, God, this is hard. I sold this horse like 4 months ago. this is too much. Anyway, so there's a list that came out on their Facebook page. People have been sharing. It's called Riding Rules for Old Horsewomen. And my God, if it's not me, it sure is close. Number one. We do not need to show up with our hair combed, makeup on, wearing a clean shirt. We don't need to. It doesn't matter where it is. The only thing I ever try to do is I try to shower before I go to Air Force function events, because when you smell like a horse and you go to places where people have never really been around a horse, you smell 10 million times worse than you think you do.
There are expectations for lieutenant colonel's wives.
You can't wear your barn boots because people have never smelled horse urine and you don't smell it anymore. So just have a spare outfit.
Doesn't this really go away, the whole worrying about showing up in clean clothes and, you know, looking half decent to the barn? Doesn't that go away when you have kids anyway?
The kid thing, people understand in the Air Force a little spit up on your shirt, but they don't understand the horses. The horses. It's just, I have had hay in my hair at functions and they laughed at me. I mean, it's just crazy. Doesn't matter how old you are. The whole horse being made fun of and picked on for having horses never quits.
It never stops. No. Yeah. And how exactly is it that you can be all clean and fresh and dressed up to go someplace, and you literally walk down the center aisle of the barn and out the other side and get in the car, and suddenly your entire person stinks like a barn. How does that happen?
I don't know, but it's true. I have a rule, like once I'm going to get ready for an Air Force thing, I don't go back outside at all.
You can't, because it clings to you.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the second rule is moaning, groaning, and complaining about aching muscles is perfectly acceptable, as is taking Motrin, ibuprofen, Advil, or something stronger prior to a ride.
Well, you must be old because you do that a lot. I'm throwing you in the old category now because we hear that a lot on the show.
Do I complain a lot about being aching?
Well, Monday you were a little whiny about having, you know, being really sore after having ridden in a while.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't ridden in 2 months, and all of a sudden I hop on a ton of horses and jump them. So it wasn't a good life choice for me. Number three, helping someone on or off the horse does not mean the rider is an invalid. It only means the horse got taller overnight.
It sure did.
Jennifer had that problem, and hers did get taller overnight.
Yeah, you did. You got one.
Yeah. The other day, Glenn says, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. You got up on him without a mounting block." Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah. Congratulations. I got on Edward yesterday, who's 16.2, and I had to move him over to the fence, and like he has gotten out of practice. And so it's like, you know, the owners are waiting on me and I'm like, get your hip back over here. And I go climb up on the fence and he moves his hip away. And like when I was younger, I just would have jumped on him. And now I'm like, climb down from the fence, walk around, push his hip back over to the fence, climb back up, move away. Like, son of a... Number four, everyone will wait patiently while someone tacks up, no matter how long that takes. That's true.
Jennifer, you've been riding some trail rides with some groups here lately, and they're mostly, you know, women that are 40 plus. And I think that's true, isn't it? Everybody just waits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Same thing. I don't think that's an age thing. I think it's just, we just all wait for each other. I'll be like, go ahead. I'll meet you out there. No, it's okay. They just stand there. I guess time spent with the horse is time spent with the horse, no matter what you're doing. Number five, mentioning that it is too hot, too dry, too humid, too wet, too buggy, etc., is considered self-expression, not whining.
Yeah, these kind of do apply to all horse people, I think.
Absolutely. It's too hot. I'm too cold. It doesn't matter. I feel you, girl. I'm out here with you. You just complain on. Number six is wanting to be first, last, walk, or just stop does not mean the rider is a wimp. Sometimes it's just a necessary means to teach the horse who's in charge. Yes, I need to stand still and catch my breath. I'm doing that to train you, by the way. Like, lies. Number seven is we will take time to discuss the important issues of the day, like who's dating who's cheating on who, and like any other relevant information which needs to be passed on. It just depends on when that starts. I mean, you don't have to be old to do that.
No, that's I think teenagers have that down pat.
My gosh, yeah. The 13-year-olds. I'm telling you, one of them has a boyfriend now.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. And she hasn't told her parents.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm having to hear...
Drama.
Oh, gosh. And it's like, at what point do I have to... Like, I guess if they're doing something dangerous, it's my job to tell their parents. Otherwise, I try to stay out of it, but... Oh my gosh. Oh my God. He's so cute. It was like totally at lunch today. And he like sat down next to me for a few minutes before he like went up and got his lunch. And then he brought me a carton of milk and he gave me his milk. And it was so sweet. It was like so good. And then like he went away, but then he texted me and told me that he thinks I'm pretty. Like, I mean, this is the con. Oh wait, here comes my mom. Shh, 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 shh.
Oh, man, I feel sick now. Just listen to you do it. Oh, my God.
I know. That's nothing. I was giving you very bad examples. So, really, it's like, he totally saved my Snapchat. And, like, I totally knew about it because there was a notification that came. He said he Snapchatted. And then, so we kicked each other. Kick is an app, by the way. Did you know that?
I didn't. No, know that. That's a new one for me.
And when they say he kicked me, I was like, what? Is he beating you up? And she was like, okay. He kicked me.
I was like, oh my God, I'm so out of it.
How did we communicate before cell phones? How did we ever end up with a girlfriend?
I don't know, but remember I used to write notes in school?
Yes, we used to pass notes and you used to fold them like 85 times.
Yes, and then you'd like basically like
palm
them.
Do you think kids know how to fold notes anymore?
No, they don't know how to do anything. They just message each other. You know, they don't have to type anymore. They talk and text. It's such BS. Like Abby's out here last night. She's like, I'll take video of you riding Zeus. I was like, great. She's like, I do have 64 gigs. I was like, what? She's like, I had to get a new phone. I'm like, you already had the iPhone 6. Hate you. All right. We will, number 8, finally, the last one. We will acknowledge that horses are very strange animals, and sometimes, for no reason at all, we just fall off of them. If this happens... If this happens to any rider, the other riders will ascertain that the person is okay and then never mention the incident again to another living soul, especially husbands and significant others. I will add parents. They don't fall off. What are you talking about? Why is your arm black and blue? I fell on the stairs. It's like hiding your husband that beats you. Seriously. Like, we don't talk about that. You don't talk about Fight Club.
Pretty much determined that all of these are not just for old horse women.
I think so. I think you just never change. Yeah. You just never grow up, maybe.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's take a break. We one of the reasons that we can go to Rolex next week and give you coverage from there is Bates Saddles. They are generously sponsoring our Rolex coverage. Bates Saddles feature the revolutionary Care Cushion System and the Easy Change Fit solution for the greatest flexibility in achieving a customized saddle fit. It's pretty much, if you're familiar with the WinTech Care system, it's pretty much the same system as that. Matter of fact, Jennifer was changing the gullet out of her WinTech saddle last night. The fluid air technology in the Care Cushion system has been scientifically proven to maximize your horse's comfort, freedom, and movement and performance by working with your horse's muscles. Care cushions provide even weight distribution over a maximum bearing surface, superior shock absorbency, and increased saddle stability. You were changing the cushions out yesterday too, actually. To learn more about Care and the Easy Change Fit solution, visit BatesSaddles.com. Now, one of the things that's happening next week is Bates Saddles is gearing up to introduce its new beautiful luxe leather upgrade on all of its plus leather saddles, including Bates Elevation Plus, Bates Isabel, Bates Innova Mono, and more. So if you're at Rolex, you can be among the very first to check out the new buttery soft, super grippy Bates Lux Leather at the Bit of Britain tent. All Bates saddles in Lux Leather are available as a custom order from the factory just for you. If you're not at Rolex, you'll find Bates Leather or Bates retailer at BatesSaddles.com. And when you're there, you can get a saddle demo at the Bit of Britain tent. And John was on the eventing show last night from Bit of Britain. He said they have 4,500 square feet. So it is the biggest tent he's ever had. It's his 25th year there. So you'll find Bates saddles at the Bit of Britain tent. You can try them out and check out the new leather all at the Bit of Britain tent. And I'm a little nervous because Jennifer still has cash in her pocket from selling Beaker.
Somebody's going shopping.
Glenn, you should be feeling much more confident because at least I won't be using the plastic.
That's true. At least
no interest.
That's true.
Interest free.
And you know what? It is cool because since you've gotten the new horse, you've actually changed the gullet and the pads twice. Since you got the new horse, as the new horse is changing, she's just changing the gullets and the pads to fit. So it works out really good. It really is a good system, whether it's the WinTech synthetic or the Bates. Well, let's take a break. What about, how about a little wheel to win with Team Fredericks? They had Clayton Fredericks on the eventing show yesterday, too.
Yes.
That's appropriate. He's awesome. Leading into Rolex. So let's hear the wheel to win, and then we're going to go back with our health segment in just a minute.
When you know that you've got what it takes, what a difference.
trust the fear. Oh, there's something going on there.
And when everyone's dreaming the dream,
then you've got the will to win. When the moment is finally here, and you're fired and the energy's clear, when you stand on the strength of the team, then you've got the Fredericks with Will to Win. And of course, Clayton will be next week. He hopes that his team has the will to win because he's the coach of the Canadian team. I saw that Jessica Phoenix has three horses, of course, because she wouldn't ride any less than that. And I don't think she's pregnant right now. So that we know about. So she probably can handle riding three horses at Rolex. We'll see her next week. Looking forward to that. And I'm sure he is very excited about the prospects for the Canadian team next week. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. We're brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Jennifer, we had a veterinarian emergency call, I hear.
Yes, and thank goodness it didn't involve us. Yay!
Right.
But not our horse.
Our veterinarian for the Haggard Horse Health Report this morning got called out on an emergency. They are swimming in sick horses up there in Lexington, it appears. So we are going to enjoy an excerpt from the Healthy Critters Radio episode that is going to be coming out the 25th of this month. So you're getting it first here on Horses in the Morning. This is even before the show comes out. And they're doing a new segment they're calling Tigopedia. And Tigger Montague, who's the co-host of the show, is an absolute encyclopedia of nutrition knowledge. And once a month, they are going to answer a listener question or a genetic question that they get a lot at the various and sundry conferences that Tigger goes to. And this one is about transitioning your horse from a manufactured food diet, like a prefabricated horse feed that you would buy at the feed store, to a whole foods diet.
And I just want to say this. Tigger was so excited because, you know, they started that show with her on episode 12. They started that show a couple months ago, Healthy Critters Radio, and she went and spoke at some horse conference somewhere, and somebody came up to her and said, I came to watch you just because I heard you on the radio show. So we, and it was kind of her first moment for that to happen. And we've all had that happen, right, Jamie? And it is a special moment when that happens. So good
That's
for her.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. All right, let's take a listen.
So now is time for our new segment, which we are going to do once a month in with my dear friend Tigger. I have been wanting to put her up on the block, so to speak, and we're going to call this section Tiggopedia. I have, in many conversations with Tigger, have often said, Tiggs, there's so many questions I ask you on a daily basis that we talk about our horses or our dogs that we just commonly have conversations about that I think that a lot of our listeners want to know. So Tigger reluctantly said yes. So as per
Here's
Tigger's
ball and chain across the floor.
Well, and I appreciate it because this to me is going to be and continually helpful for the listeners, but also just, you know, questions that are nothing to you that just seem like very basic, easy things. And per your request, I did not tell you what I wanted to ask you. And it's going to be actually simple, but not simple. I think the number one question that I always get that I try to do my best to answer is how to implement, how to start a whole food program with your basic performance horse. So I'm going to say, Tigger, I'm calling you about one of my clients. She rides 5 times a week. She's a moderately good rider. Her horse has been on Ultium, and I need to put him on a program, and he's a quarter horse thoroughbred. Go.
What level?
Solid training, but working first and second.
Okay. What kind of energy requirements does he have? Does he need more energy or is his energy good?
Energy's good.
Okay. How much Ultium is he getting per feeding?
He is getting 3 half scoops of Ultium, a 2-quart scoop, so 3 quarts a day plus...
So 1 3 times a day?
Yeah, 1 quart 3 times a day.
Okay. So what I use, what the horse is already getting as the beginning, the starting point for the whole food diet. So for a horse working 5 days a week, I would start based on that 1 quart that he's already getting. Mm-hmm. I would go with 1/2 quart of alfalfa pellets.
Okay.
Providing him protein, all the essential amino acids, and high calcium, which is extremely important for the ulcer-sensitive horse.
Okay.
I would add some omega-3s, either flax or chia.
Okay.
I usually recommend starting at 1/4 cup per feeding.
Okay.
If there's no energy requirement, but we need to put on a little bit more top line...
Mm-hmm.
Then I would add something like coconut meal, Cool Stance.
Okay.
It's a medium chain fat, so it's used as muscle and organ energy. It's 20% protein.
Okay.
And I would probably start with, 1/4 to 1/2 cup, depending okay. on the horse.
All right.
And a multivitamin mineral like Optimum.
Okay.
And if it's a quarter horse thoroughbred, you could add some oats. The thoroughbreds do really well with carbohydrate grains, but okay. maybe it's only going to be 1/2 cup or 1 cup.
Okay. And going back, I just want to ask a question about the flaxseed and the chia. What makes you choose? Let's say this person's in a boarding barn and chia is not going to be available. So they want to use flax.
Flax. Yeah.
What's the advantage of chia over flax?
Chia is higher in omega-3s. It's higher in proline, which is the major constituent of collagen.
Okay.
Great, you know, healing connective tissue. And because it's so mucilaginic, it's slows the digestion of carbohydrates.
Okay.
So it's really good for the easy keepers, really good for the metabolic horses. And it's good for horses that live in places like Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, where when they're out eating, they're picking up, you know, sand and grit and stuff.
Right.
And a lot of people would feed psyllium, and chia is a much better option.
Okay.
So it does a lot of different things.
Okay. Okay. So you've given me my diet for my horse, but this person, and I know this is a big question for you all the time, because we both have gotten this. When I run my own barn, this isn't an issue, but if I'm in a boarding facility, obviously this is something that has to be wet. Correct?
It does not have to be wet.
Cool stance doesn't have to be?
No. Oh, ideally, horses' feed should be wet. Doesn't mean soaked. You literally just put the food in a bucket, squirt water in it, feed it.
Okay.
Horses get that live out, and they're getting a lot of moisture from the grass.
Okay.
And the advantage of a food that's already wet is you're not pulling moisture from the GI tract.
Okay.
The challenge in a boarding barn is as soon as you say wet, they think soaked.
Right.
And, you know, that's time consuming. And in a lot of boarding barns, that's too time consuming.
Right.
But just squirting water in it so that you can, you know, mix it all together and give to the horse, it takes, you know, 10 seconds.
Right. So,
but you can feed alfalfa pellets, Timothy pellets, Cool Stance, Renew Gold, dry, and okay. Chia and flax.
It has to have some, because the chia or the flax does benefit from the moisture, right? Because it makes it more emollient.
They do.
Okay. So that's actually new to me. I didn't realize that, because obviously when we really first started doing this, we were playing a lot more with bee pulp.
Mm-hmm.
And so bee pulp isn't nearly as big of a factor as it used to be.
There's some real issues with bee pulp. The protein is so low at 8%. Most, you know, sport horses, they're constantly breaking down protein and need to rebuild protein and build muscle. And at 8% protein, you are not going to be able to do that.
Even with the alfalfa?
Again, if you've got 8% of bee pulp and 15% alfalfa, if you're feeding both in equal amounts, now you're going to come in at, 10.5?
Right.
11. We're finding that horses need higher protein, specifically the right kind of protein, which includes the branched chain amino acids, which bee pulp doesn't have.
Okay.
But it's a wonderful source of fiber. There are lots of times to use bee pulp. However, horses that become non-sweaters should not have bee pulp
okay.
at all.
Which is very interesting, because I learned that last year with a couple horses that weren't sweating, and I didn't. What is it about the bee pulp that's not making them sweat?
We don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Well, okay, check that up. Don't know, move on. Because I hadn't known that. I had this one horse that we called you about last year. It's a little Peary gelding, and he was truly cushionoid, and also real. Definitely a more. You could look at that horse and just go, oh, that horse is insulin resistant. He's just kind of bulkier and had the fatty pads, and he became a non-sweater, which is very interesting to me. So because my understanding always was, you know, you had to have the calcium and the phosphorus ratio, but if you're doing the Cool Stance, that takes care of that, right?
That gives you the phosphorus, and the alfalfa gives you the calcium.
Okay, and you need the phosphorus for the calcium to be able to bind. Is that correct?
Well, you need it in a ratio.
Okay.
You know, 2-to-1 calcium to phosphorus. It's like calcium and magnesium is 2-to-1.
Okay. Okay.
But generally, I'm going to say this, on average, phosphorus is pretty readily available in hay and forage.
Okay.
So choosing to feed Cool Stance because of phosphorus would not be enough reason for me to feed Cool Stance.
Okay.
I feed Cool Stance because I love coconut as a source of fat, and I like a little higher protein and a little higher fiber. So you
okay.
get more out of Cool Stance than you do out of bee pulp, for
okay.
sure.
Okay. Okay. All right. So now we have our horse. We're going to call him Bob. And Bob's now on his new diet. How long would you recommend somebody to switch over from a prepared food like the Ultium onto his new diet?
I generally take 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay. Why is that?
Because I'm conservative.
Oh, Tigger.
I mean, not really, of course, not politically, but in feeding, if I have a really sick horse, I mean, a horse that is really, really sick, I'll change them that day.
Okay.
But for most horses that are going to do a transition from commercial feed to whole food, I do 2 weeks, and it begins with cutting the commercial feed in half.
Okay.
And adding half the whole food diet.
Okay.
For the first week. The second week, they get a handful of the commercial feed and all the whole food. And this has worked really, really well.
Okay.
And it also, most importantly, it makes the owners feel more comfortable.
Sure. Yeah, I've always tried 7 days and really taken my time, but I do find that taking your time does make the owner feel better, and it also helps the horse, because I have found that if you're feeding the McDonald's and you're going to offer them, you know, Brussels sprouts, sometimes they back off of that.
They go, I'm not eating this.
Right. And I just recently was switching some horses over in the...
Well, you can hear the rest of that over at Healthy Critters Radio. That one will be coming out shortly. But if you're interested at all in feeding whole foods especially, or if you're interested in your – it's not just horses they talk about there either. It's also dogs. They have segments on dogs and other critters as well. They're going to have a chicken lady on soon. So if you're interested in feeding and feeding whole foods and what nutrition comes out of all of that, then that's the show for you. It's all about animal health. Healthy Critters Radio.
I'm listening to this and I'm like, Jen, where can I get coconut meal?
I know.
I need coconut meal.
Where do you get coconut meal? And is it just chopped up coconuts?
No.
Okay.
Because it sounded like you just take a coconut, and I'll drink it. The water, yeah. And you grind it up.
Yeah, that's right.
The coconut meal that is used in horse feed is a byproduct of the production of coconut oil.
Okay.
So the majority of the coconut oil has been removed. And so it still has a higher fat content than grains, obviously, but a lot of the fat has been removed. But it has a better nutrient profile than, for example, beet pulp, which beet pulp has almost very, very low protein content versus copra, which is what they call the coconut meal that's created after the oil is removed. The copra has almost all of the benefits of the beet pulp plus a better protein profile. So it has advantages. But as far as I know, you cannot, as a consumer, purchase copra in bulk quantities. That's something that's sold directly to manufacturers. And there are a couple of companies out there who make it as a meat ingredient in their feed products.
Sort of sounding to me like the whole juice versus blend debate that's going on the auditor page right now.
Oh, my God. It's like one has too much fiber and the other doesn't have enough fiber and all this. I juiced my entire pregnancy, and now that I'm not pregnant anymore.
You're never going to do that again, are you?
I literally, the juicing makes me nauseous. So we'll throw it all in the blender. And now, so I went from juicing to blending. Oh my God, I've done both.
You know, I solved the problem. I just don't do either. I just don't. You know, it is actually a popular segment that we're doing over in Stable Scoop now once a month. We have somebody that Helena knows from Rhode Island, who's kind of this what to eat. She's kind of the Tigger for humans. And she comes on once a month. And it's funny when I'm on, because you know me, I'm just like, eat everything that's unhealthy. So she's learned how to handle me now, and it's become a fun little segment.
Well, I was wondering, I'm like, what the hell are they talking about over there? When all of a sudden my news feed pops up, people arguing over juicing versus blending. And I'm like, I need to listen to that show. What are they talking about over there? Isn't it a horse show? But I guess riders need health segments
too. Riders need health segments too. That's right. Hey, did you see, speaking to the auditor page, did you see what Mary posted this morning, Mary Kitzmiller? She posted a thing. It was a meme. 90% of horse movies is what it's titled. And it was very funny. And it basically, it's a girl and a dad. You play the girl, I'll play the dad. How about we do it that way?
And are this, we going to read girl and dad, or just going to read the lines?
You don't
lines?
Have to do that. Just assume you're the girl, I'm the dad. And basically what this is it's 90% of what happens in every chick flick horse movie.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Okay. I can do this. I can do this. Get in character. Terrible. Girl. Oh, I don't have to read that part. Finds horse who is impaired in some way. Dad, can I keep it?
No, there's no hope for it. Let's go.
Dad, you idiot. You don't get me. Visits horse in the middle of the night. Cuts to girl riding the horse in an open field because she is free and her dad can't control her.
How dare you? I told you not to get that horse.
Just to, like, let me prove to you this horse is totally special. Enters race. Wins.
You make me so proud. That's 90% of the horse movies, isn't it? Right there.
I almost feel like we could do a better job if Jen was the one who read the
narration part.
The narration part, the lines
yes,
in between.
Yes, yes.
And let's jazz it up a little bit.
All right, what do you want?
Let's be real. We're going to like really bad ads this thing. Okay, Jen. Find
it first. Where's it at?
It's on the auditor page.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Facebook page.
First thing posted. It's called 90% of
by, horse movies. This is posted by Mary Kitzmiller, who is a movie fanatic, has seen every movie that was ever made.
And I would like to tell her that she can now find us in Master Horse Theater. This is our version. Jen, do you have it yet?
Okay, so I see the meme.
Yeah, you're going to read everything that has asterisks on either side.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Okay. The title is 90% of horse movies.
Girl finds horse who is impaired in some way.
Oh my God, Dad, I love him. Can I keep it, please, please, please?
No, you want to keep everything. I don't care what it is. It's any critter that's out there that's damaged in a little way, you want to keep it. There's no hope for it. We're going home.
Oh my God, Dad, you are like so mean to me, and like you totally don't understand me. You don't get me, and like you don't get that I love this horse, and like he is supposed to be my best friend, and I can fix him. I will fix him, and I will take him home, and we are gonna be best friends forever. You're such an idiot. Like, you totally don't get me.
Girl visits horse in the middle of the night. Scene cuts to girl riding the horse in the open field because she is free and her dad can't control her.
You get off that horse right now. I told you you couldn't have this horse. You do this all the time. You never, ever listen to me. You're going to get hurt. I want you down off that horse right now and you're grounded. I'm going to take your phone away for a month.
Dad, you're so unfair. This is like so totally unfair. He's not dangerous. He loves me. Let me show you. He is like the best thing that's ever happened to me, and he is not going to hurt me. I'm going to totally like prove to you that this horse is totally special.
Girl enters race. And wins!
Oh, you make me so proud. You look so good out there. I can't believe it. I am so proud to be your father.
Told ya.
Oh my gosh.
Yay.
Well done. Well done.
That was much better the way we read it.
Yeah, I like it way better. I think we'll wrap our show with that.
You know what? It is true about 99% of the horse movies. You don't even need to watch them. You know exactly what happens.
Daddy, it's okay if you kill Flicka.
It's okay.
You kill Flicka. Yes. You've never seen.
Oh, we forgot the dad runs out with the gun part.
But there's so much more that we could do with that. I almost feel like we need to write our own.
We need our own play. That'd be good. Like I think this. That's a great idea.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get more people involved. Mary would be a good one to get involved. She could be mom. You know,
here's what we're going to do. Right. We are going to go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And what I want you all to start doing is write the next line. I will write a line, something to the effect of.
There's a name for this, that when people do this, it's like has 1,000 authors.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to like get our own story going. So I will post a line in our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and then you keep the story.
Why don't
going.
We do this? Why don't we post it in the auditor page? And
that's where the meme is.
That's where the meme is. So we'll start one in the auditor page, and we'll let the auditors have fun with it. And if you want to be part of that, you have to become an auditor. But then we'll read it on the show.
Oh my God, you're so mean.
We'll get some. Like,
such a jerk.
And we'll get the other. We'll get some more characters involved too, because she has a sister, of course, who isn't into writing, and then mom, who's just kind of in the middle.
Look, you can't write the story yourself. That's not the point.
I know. Okay.
Who needs Black Beauty?
Who's going to play the dog? There's always a dog that's running along while she's riding, you know, looking all happy. It's always a dog.
You should write your own horse movie.
You know who we need to get involved in this is Lisa Wysocki. She knows a little bit about this.
She will. She knows the publishers. And after we write this whole story, we'll send it to her to get published.
It. That's right. And we'll have to have music. I'll get music ready for the back.
Oh my God, end this. I gotta go. Can't take it anymore. You're making me crazy. Ruining the fun for all non-auditors in the world.
I want to put it on the Horses in the Morning page. That's fine, dear.
No, we'll do two. We'll do the auditors, and then we'll do the people that never listen to the show that follow us on Facebook.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Mean things they write. That is true. Auditors, if you want to be on a page like other people that actually listen to the show, then you need to go to the auditors page. Otherwise, I post a picture of Zeus, and somebody's like, "Oh my God, that was just totally pinning his ears when you're jumping him. He obviously hates his job."
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you get.
He looks so rustic. He's not refined at all.
He is like they put the picture of Thor. That actually happened. Somebody's like, he pins his ears when he jumps. I'm like, he's listening. You are a bitch.
On that note.
On that note. Love you guys. Spay, neuter, y'all. Have a good day.